I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Achtung Mall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Berlin. Accept no substitute.
Well, Gaffer, when you need a performance to do it at St Mary's like that in front of 2,800 Millwall fans and get 3 points, that's some start.
Yeah, look, let's do the fans first, yeah, rather than talk about the group or whatever. Brilliant. They came today to support their team. They came today knowing that they were going to get a Millwall-like performance. So I can't praise them for carrying us through, especially during that second half. Stuck with the boys, believed in us, and the reception they gave me was obviously outstanding, so I thank them for that. And then the players, you know, credit goes to the players. You come here, you know Southampton want to dominate at least 75% possession. It was probably more than that today, I've got to be honest. But look, we're fine with it, we're comfortable with it. We knew the game plan, we knew what we wanted to do, we knew how we could cause a problem as well, and we did. Obviously, when backs to the walls like they were at times, you need to rely on defensive unit and your goalkeeper. And I can't be any prouder of the players.
Well, that voice was, of course, the unmistakable tones of Mr. Millwall, Neil Harris, who has returned with a bang, as the South London Press puts it in Alex Grace's column, The Four Things We've Learned from the Weekend. Really, really impressive victory on Saturday, dear listeners. And, you know, a follow-up to a relatively short build-up. There was none of the, obviously, came as a surprise, none of the build-up you would normally get with a new appointment. And just one or two really, really well-chosen words by Neil and a wonderful post-match, interview there with Max McLennan of Millwall TV. So, as the South London Press has put it here, Harris starts with a bang. It was not pretty. It was effective. It was a complete diametric opposite to everything that we saw in that limp performance last week at home to Sheffield Wednesday. But what a start for the new Harris regime. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Achtung Millwall. My name is Nick Hart. Before we get into today's voicemail show, I just want to mention Harvey's Den Cafe. We've been giving a bit of a boost to Harvey's Den in this weekend's shows. Really good course, obviously, part of the Mill Community Trust. But for your match day grub, why not think about popping into Harvey's Den? They do all your usual pre-match nosh, fry-ups, breakfast, all-day breakfast, patty and chips, you name it. They'll be doing it in there, open from 10:30 until 2 o'clock on a match day. It's open weekdays from 10:30 till various times during the weekdays for the kind of working crowd. But if you're there on a match day, give it a go. Give it a go. Everyone knows Harvey Brown. It's his cafe in the Lions Centre, directly next door to the turnstiles, the West Upper. So yeah, Harvey's Den Cafe. Big up to them. Give it a go. Why not? So yeah, this is the voicemail show. We did a few voicemails in yesterday's edition, dear listeners. This is the third show generated by the content from Saturday's fantastic win. It's Reasons to Be Cheerful. This is part three. And we're going to start off our show today with John Rankin. Have a listen to John.
Nick, hi listeners, John Rankin here, just calling in after that brilliant win down at Southampton. We were there in the away end, got a bit wet walking down from the station, but boy oh boy, was it worth it. I'd like to mention a few things. I feel kind of, you know, Neil Harris made some interesting and correct selections there, and that's what I want to talk about first. First of all, this obsession with having a left-footed left-back. You know, people forget Ian Dawes, right? You can play a right-footer at left-back As long as he sets himself up properly and shows the guy inside, you know, rather than outside, then he can use his right foot to tackle. So no problem there. And I think Danny Mac had a superb game at left back. Ryan Leonard, brilliant at right back. A little bit shaky to begin with, but he grew into the game. And in the end, you know, he was really dominating that that right back area. In the middle, Cooper and Tanganga, can't complain really. And Sarkic, what a performance, you know, came for a lot of balls. He made a brilliant save at the end, which I didn't see because we were in the away end, obviously. So I'd like to see that on the highlight reel. But on X, they said that it was, you know, a mad save, a fantastic save right at the end. Interesting midfield selection, which I totally agree with. I thought Billy Mitchell was my man of the match, actually. And I thought Billy Mitchell, Danny Mac, George Saville and Jake Cooper all played really well. And that's four sort of solid Neil Harris players that produced the goods, really. I know we got Casper Denor on the bench. I'm not so sure where he fits in at the moment. You could kind of, you know, George Honeyman did a job. We've got a lot of midfielders, and it's a question of picking the right midfielders, I think, for the match, for the game in hand. Southampton were brilliant. I mean, you know, 95% possession or something ridiculous. I thought they were going to put, you know, five or six goals on us. How we survived that, I don't know. And it's just sheer will and determination. Absolutely fantastic. I thought Zian Fleming had a good game in spells. I think he might have to work on his sort of fitness a little bit, it seems to me. But who am I to criticise, you know? Beautiful penalty. Sent the goalie the wrong way and put it right into the side netting. It actually came in off the post, I think. So copybook penalty. And the first goal, couldn't see much of it. But it was brave, it was courageous, and it was from a high ball, you know, a set piece, I think. The Southampton goal, well, I thought, oh, this is sweets off a baby. I mean, it was a lovely goal. Beautiful ball in after they were playing the ball round on the box. And the guy just stepped in and nipped in front of the defenders. But that was it. It was 2-1. What an atmosphere in the away end. It was interesting. We were getting a train back because we're staying down in the New Forest area. And we were getting a train back to a place in New Forest, and there were some guys there, neutrals, who went down to watch the match, and they were saying that the sound of the monks' chant was just unbelievable. You know, they'd never heard anything like it so loud. And the away end was absolutely terrific. I said to my son I was with, you know, this is one for you to remember, boy. 30,000 people in a, you know, in a Premiership stadium, an hour away end, completely dominating it. So good performance from the lads on the pitch, great performance from the supporters. I'm a Happy Meal supporter. Come on, you Lions.
Great stuff, John. Yeah, that monk chant, there's a video doing the rounds. Listeners, do have a look on X. If you haven't seen it already, you've probably seen it, I dare say. But yeah, it goes on for minutes. The only one that's ever beaten that, in my experience, in my time, was the cup final. Benefit of rosy-tinted 20-plus years now, seemed to go on for the bulk of the second half in the FA Cup final. But it is a mighty roar when it gets going. No other club can do anything quite like it. I hear a lot of imitation attempts at it. I noticed Crystal Palace try and lift it a little bit in an attempt to put a bit of edge on their black ultra type of, you know, Germanic font type of turnout. And one or two other teams have a little dab at something like it, but no one at all, to my knowledge of football, does anything like the Millwall monk chant, as I call it. And it is a terrific sound, and it can't help but lift players. It must do. Tired legs become rejuvenated when it's in full flow. Interesting point you make about Danny Mac, John. In fact, I've stolen it. The bitter comes out better on a stolen loop off of Millwall's official website. I'm going to play Danny Mac's, before I continue, I'm going to play Danny Mac's interview with Mill TV.
Danny, a great away day and 3 points in the bag at Southampton. What's your feelings on that one?
Yeah, I think it showed on the pitch. Everyone gave 100%. Over the moon, mate, over the moon. Obviously, we give everything today. We knew what it meant. And obviously, for the travelling supporters today, I think we give it them all. And we owe them one.
There you go, short and sweet. I only ever lift off the ex-published videos for my own, you know, use, which is obviously all donated to charity listeners, so no personal gain in it at all. But yeah, just going back to John, Ian Dawes, wow, what a name to throw into the mix. He was indeed a right-footed left-back, and he was one of the best players I've ever seen in a Millwall shirt, part of the classic 1988 promotion and First Division days. Oh, no, he wasn't in the promotion side, excuse me. He signed for the First Division, and he did have class. He stayed with us for a few years, Ian. But he was right-footed, and he played on the left. So that's high praise for Danny. I thought he did very well Saturday, Danny Mac. And I think that was reflective in that little clip. It was only a short one off of the Mill site. But well done, Danny. And also, I make you right about Sarkic. That was a fantastic late save, game-saving, moment by Matija Sarkic. I mean, Billy Mitch, the whole team. I've said before, Tanganga's my man of the match. But I wouldn't fight anyone that wanted to name somebody else. Billy Mitch, Ryan Leonard, Jules Savile. It was grit, proper Millwall grit. And that was so refreshing to see. Just going on to your Casper De Noor comment, John. Yeah, I don't know where he does fit into this. I mean, it's a pity if we don't find a place or can't find a place for him in what is probably going to be a much more direct-looking Millwall side, because I've really liked what I've seen from Casper, and he's a good passer of a ball. I really hope we can find a spot for him, but number one is survival, and to survive, clearly, as the lesson of Saturday will show us, grit is required. So, brilliant stuff there by John. So we're going to move along now rapidly. We've got a few to get through today. Let's go for Matt Webb.
Hi Nick, Matt Webb here on the crisp Sunday morning dog walk after what we could say was a dogged performance against a very dominant Southampton. Last week I said I couldn't see Millwall winning another game. That was obviously under the regime of Joe Edwards. And I'm glad I'm always proven wrong. But then what week we've had in the club has been quite a monumentous one, let's just put it like that. That divides opinion. How we set up yesterday? Well, we had four at the back. It looked like more of a five with Obafemi up top on his own. A few more eyebrows were raised with Billy Mitch coming in and Casper De Noor being on the bench. But Harris is going to go to his trusty players that he knows. I'm a Millwall fan. I'm happy that we won, but I'm also a little bit just slightly on the, well, pissed off. I'll say I'm pissed off. Not angry, pissed off maybe, because I just think to myself, yesterday we had a dogged performance, a Millwall-like performance, as the cliche is now becoming. And I just asked myself, I said, where's that been? Like, you see at the end when Savile pushes Harris in front of the team and to make sure that the 2,800 Wall fans appreciate him. And, rightly so, deserved it because our team was organised and marshalled and managed well. But again, I just think, why was you not doing that? Why was it? Okay, so it was a clash of personalities. Is it a clash of ideas? Who knows? We don't know what went behind the back of the scenes. But yeah, I just come out of there with a little bit of a, Jesus Christ, lads. Like, you could have been doing this 4 weeks, 5 weeks ago. We wouldn't be in this situation as we're in. But nonetheless, we got to grind out a result. 20% possession and win. That must be some kind of a stat to be in the record books, maybe. Couple of mentions on individual players. Tanganga, best performance in a Millwall shirt. 100%. That's the Japhet Tanganga that we probably all were expecting. And it's taken a few games, granted, as we all keep saying, he needs to play to get match fit, but yesterday he showed his class. He was excellent yesterday. A few people around me were whining and moaning about Obafemi. Now, when you're playing one up front in a five, in the first half against a Southampton team that are going to take 80% possession, you ain't going to get much luck. However, the only one thing that Obafemi did, and it was a crucial thing, was to get that penalty. So, I don't think he did too bad, to be honest with you, in that first half. And then he got hooked. Because he did, as I say, he got that penalty, which is really good. And my final mention, and it is, I'm so pleased to say, is the goalkeepers union here, Matty Sarkic. I thought that second half save was one of the best saves you'll see all season. And I'm hoping there's some other people on this pod and listeners who actually appreciate that. Actually, someone came up to me afterwards and said to me, what do you make of him? What do you make of him? And I've said my same answer. Right, I said, he's good. He's very good. Give him a couple of more years, it'll be even better. But yesterday was an absolute great save against, was it Armstrong, I think it was, that three-headed down, bottom right. Great save. And not only is it a great save to get down, but to parry it away from danger. So, absolute credit to Matty Sarkic on that occasion. It was nice to see so many fans travel, and, you know, it really was pleasing to see a good crowd. Let's keep it up. And let's just see what we can do in the next 12 more games left. We go to Watford at home on Saturday. I'm actually gutted because I can't make it. Really gutted. But all I'm just going to say is, yes, great result yesterday. Yes, the performance was resolute and dogged. But let's not just get carried away just yet. Okay, we've still got a lot more to do. You know, the results did not go our favour yesterday. You know, a great result away at St Mary's, and we're still 1 point off the drop. Lo and behold, Stoke are now in there. But, yeah, let's take one game at a time, and let's see what happens in the next few weeks. But all in all, a positive day, positive result, 12 to go. Come on, your Lions.
Top stuff, Matt. Yeah, I mean, the togetherness thing links, I suppose, in with where's the spirit been for some weeks. Probably the best time to be having that inquest, the post-mortem on the season, is once it's all over and done with. Let's hope we survive. It's still not a done deal. It's a great start on Saturday, but I think Neil Harris in the South London Press, they make the point that you've got to take that forward to play Watford next Saturday at home at the Den and get a result, because if you don't do that, then Saturday was all for nothing. I don't know. Who knows what lies behind it? I'm still struck by the fact that under Joe Edwards, we did get a few results. You know, the sequence of three wins, QPR at home, wasn't it? And then a couple of wins after that. And they all seemed to disappear down the Swanee River or down the Thames River in our case. So what happened behind the scenes, who knows? Maybe we'll never find out, I don't know. But I think for the time being at least, it's togetherness that's going to, that unity, that essential mill unity between the terraces and the team that we saw on Saturday, that's what's going to keep us in the Championship. And staying in the Championship is a really, really crucial thing this season, listeners. We've said it a few times on this show. Mate, you're right about Obafemi. Difficult to be a lone striker. Must be a lonely old role, and you've got to just keep running off them for no great impact. But that was a great turn and shot that drew the penalty to put us back in front. I must admit, when Southampton equalised, I can't be the only one listening to these shows that thought, here we go, here comes the floodgates. We're going to open. But it didn't. We got in front. We stayed in front. Fantastic wins. A big thank you to Matt Webb there for his thoughts. We're going to listen to the next Matt in his new voice, Matt. I don't know what your surname is, Matt. I've just got Matt, so listen to Matt. Different Matt.
Hello, Nick. Just a quick one after the game yesterday. Obviously, over the moon with the result, but being realistic, yesterday was nothing out of the ordinary, really, in hindsight. All we did was play players in position, and I struggle to understand why why Joe couldn't see this, to be honest. All Harris has done is play players to their strengths. Flooded the midfield, protected the back line. All of a sudden, Tanganga, who I'd written off, looks outstanding. And I'd written him off. I thought he was shit. Cooper's confidence will return. Probably could have done better with a cross for the goal. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh, but his confidence will return. And I think in the same vein, maybe we're judging Wes Harding a bit harshly. Maybe there is a player in there. The players defensively look shot to bits with no protection in midfield. So really, all Harris has done is just basic stuff. It's just played players in position. It's circle pegs and circle holes, isn't it? And really, we were crying out for that against Sheffield Wednesday, and crying out for it for a few months on that terrible run under Joe. Absolutely no hard feelings for Joe, to be honest. What he was trying to do, I think, was actually quite brave to try and do it here. And I completely admire what he was trying to do, but also a little bit naive to try and do it before he'd had a few transfer windows and to try and make some of these players change their style. And just epitomise it yesterday, where all of a sudden we look confident, we look strong, we know what the game plan is, and players know what they're supposed to be doing, and we're playing to their strengths. And it's a shame Joe couldn't see that, to be honest, but he'll learn. I do wish him all the best. Yeah, so I mean, I'm positive. It sounds like I'm being really negative, but I'm actually really positive about the result. Of course, just fantastic to get 3 points. Although everybody around us won, I expected to be in the bottom three, to be honest. But yeah, so I walked out of Sheffield Wednesday. I thought, I'm not going to this anymore. I thought the writing was on the wall. I'll be back next season. We'll probably rebuild under Joe. But I think I've got to change my mind here, so I better go and tell the missus I won't be being dragged around blue water for a few months yet. And I'll see you all at Watford. All the best, Nick. Cheers.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Cheers, Matt. Well, Blue Walters' loss is Millwall's gain, mate. That's all I'm going to say to you. Yeah, I think we've probably all been through that moral dilemma these past 7 days. It's just been a memorable week in Mill history. We do drama very well, listeners, don't we? We are like a real-life living soap opera, really, to reach the pits of despair home to Ipswich and then follow it up with an even worse show against Sheffield. Sack one of the more promising coaches in the game in Joe Edwards, who I think will regard his Millwall stint as, you know, it sounds a bit sarky when you say it, but he will regard it as a learning experience. I think you're probably right, Matt, in terms of trying to change too much too quickly halfway through a season. Wasn't cut and dried. I mean, when Joe took us over, I think probably we all thought we weren't looking downwards. But as we've seen, a run of terrible results has put us into dire straits. And unfortunately, the idealism of Joe has had to go out the window. Where Neil Harris sits in any kind of long term plan, I don't know. I don't know even the club knows, in truth. I'm hoping that some of the things that he said about developing himself as a coach whilst he's been away, some of that will come true. I'd love for Neil Harris, Mr. Millwall, at the end of the day, isn't he? I'd love for him to be a success at our club, because I can't think of a better combination. I can't really picture him managing anywhere else. He's a bit like Steve Morris in the way that, you know, the Den was Neil Harris's theatre. It remains his theatre. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of tactics we take at home versus Watford. Obviously, yesterday was the archetypal away performance. Yesterday, Saturday, was the archetypal away performance at Southampton. Number one priority is get a result versus Watford. That might require some ugly football at home, but we'll see. We'll see. Back to basics, as you say, Matt. Yeah, play players in position, give them simple tactics, and don't ask them to play out the back like we're Johan Cruyff's Ajax 1974. That seems to be what it takes. Big thank you, Matt. We're going to have run Vince Lee, and then we'll listen to Adam Wick straight after Vince. Let's run two together now.
Hello, Nick. Vinnie Block 2. We're just sharing our thoughts from the car, just after watching some police horses chasing Millwall through a park in Southampton. All I can say is we've got our Millwall back. What a game. What an atmosphere. Fair play to Neil Harris. The players played for him, which is something we haven't seen for a little while now. I can't really pick out a man of the match. For Leonard was superb. Danny Mack was superb. Mitchell done some dirty work in the middle. And what a save by Sarkic. Just amazing. On to Birmingham on Saturday. Come you Lions.
Morning, Nick. Just Adam Wicks here. Just leaving a quick voice note after yesterday's fantastic 2-1 win at Southampton. Got to say, really enjoyed the taste of Russell Martin's salty tears after that performance. What an absolute, honestly. As someone I've got very little time for at all. Arrogant. Entitled, everything that we sort of dislike. So very pleased things turned out the way they did. Listen, what can you say? It was a great day out, great away end. Fans turned up for Harris, team turned up for the fans. Players got stuck in, players that haven't really played that much. Billy Mitchell did really well. Danny Mack playing at left back, I thought was, you know, very solid there. Tanganga was great. Savile sort of provided that bit of leadership that we've been crying out for. Fleming, very good. I mean, very good. Everyone put in shift, so I take my hat off to all of them. Really hope we can get a little bit of momentum now and just pull away a little bit. Couple of big games coming up. But I'm feeling a lot more confident that we're gonna do what we need to do to make sure we're in the championship next season, and that's, you know, that's all we can ask, isn't it? Really, after what's gone on, I think I'm just gonna focus on trying to enjoy the football between now and the end of the season, and hopefully get a few more results like that. Anyway, come on, you Lions.
Cheers, Vinny, and cheers, Adam. Yeah, the Russell Martin thing's been that's been like putting vinegar and salt on your chips, listeners, isn't it? You know, essential. You need, it's not enough to win. You also have to get under the skin of the opponents and provoke kind of distraught, nervous breakdowns online. There's a great post about from a Southampton fan saying how this droning noise went on and on and on and on, and it really got on his nerves. And there's another one where I think it's a vlogger vlogging on the side stand, doing similar things. I think he's put his fingers in his ears trying to block out the noise. It's also patsy. You know, it's one of those moments. You know, I know we get some problems at the Den. I know sometimes we're our own worst enemies, and you know, sometimes you think, oh, like recently we've been for a pretty low point this season and for a while before that. But the days like that where you just think, if there is a God, I'm not convinced there is, but if there is one, you just thank that deity for making you a Millwall fan, because, you know, the Russell Martin meltdown, he didn't shake hands with Marty Sarkic at the end of the game because he's so pissed off. And then you get the kind of silly defenders from Southampton saying he tried to high-five him or something like that. I don't know what it's all about. He just had the arse. And I think that's just wonderful. That is what, that, you know, this cliche, we've got our Millwall back. Well, in those moments, yes, we really do have our Millwall back. And I hope the Millwall fans have got chased by the police horses, you know, evaded capture. Anyway, let's move along now. Let's do another two together. We're going to go with Mark Willoughby and then we'll have Glyn Horner.
Hello, Nick. Mark Willoughby here. I've had a fantastic evening. I've been out with friends, but all I could actually really think about was the fact that we've beaten Southampton away. Before today, I've seen one win in 14 for Millwall, a couple of away trips in that. And quite frankly, I thought we'd never win again. I was there the last time that we beat Southampton at their place in August 1989 when Cass scored a late winner. Today I was not there, but I felt as good as I did that day. By the way, that was the last time we won away in the top flight. I think that Joe Edwards was a good man who spoke a good name, a good game, but was badly let down by the players. And the same players that lost 2-0 at home last week to a side that we beat 4-0 away a few months ago were able to win against promotion hopefuls away today. That says everything, really. They should be ashamed of themselves. They've caused a good man to be sacked. Unfortunately for him, that's all in the past now. But thanks, Joe Edwards, for trying your best. Neil Harris is an inspired choice to lead us forward. There's some people that think that it's a backward step. I don't agree. Who do we think we are would be my reaction to that. Unless James Berylson puts in a ton of money or we get a different owner, this is our station in life. We are a championship side of limited resources and we are very, very lucky that Neil Harris agreed to come back to us and leave a decent job at Cambridge. So I want to say thank you to Neil for doing that. The call of Millwall has hooked him in and we are the recipients of that. We should be very grateful. And I certainly am. An 18-month contract does seem a little bit strange because a lot of people would say, well, it'd be very good to get us out of a hole, but he's not going to come for 4 months and leave a good job. We have to give him 18 months. We have to respect him by giving him a good crack of the whip. So don't know what's in store for us, but I've enjoyed tonight because of what he's given us today. And let's hope that he can do great things in the next few games and keep us up and we go from there. Come on, you Lions.
Hi, Nick. Glyn here. And yeah, what a relief to be calling you after that performance yesterday at Southampton. It, you know, if I could sum that whole performance up in one word, it would just be grit. I mean, like everyone threw their body on the line, put their heads where it hurts and showed full commitment to the club and to each other. Most importantly, that togetherness was so apparent yesterday. And I think it probably was always there. It's just that, you know, confidence was low and heads would drop. But, you know, the players obviously, I think in the main, do get on with each other and respect each other. I want to make a few mentions. I think I mentioned last week, I thought Jafet Tanganga had the best game in a Millwall shirt last week. He went one better this week because he put in that level of performance and he showed real commitment. He got hurt, he threw his body on the line, he blocked shots, he scored a goal. Without a doubt, if that guy can maintain that level of commitment and level of performance between now and the end of the season, I'd be hoping we sign him because that's terrific performance there. And, you know, there's a player with a huge future ahead of him when you consider just how young he is, actually. The other thing is, I think we've seen attempts by people like, well, especially Fleming, actually, to try and take on a leadership role, because I think this is an indication of the maturing of the player, actually, because I think when he came here, he was the Billy Big Boots, when he was coming here with all the talent and all the skill, and you know that when he started to get sniffed around by the Premier League clubs, you could tell he was maybe, you know, sort of thinking about his own personal situation above the team. And of course, once the team started failing to perform, his lack of performance was starting to sort of stand out like a sore thumb. And more recently, I think we've seen Fleming come to terms with the fact that, like, actually he has a role of leadership to play within this squad. A lot of players do look up to him, a lot of fans do look up to him, and if he wants to sort of be the great player that he can be, then one of the skills he's going to have to add to all that excellent talent is leadership. And I thought in the last two three games he has been really attempting to do that, and I thought yesterday he led from the front, and I noticed that Harris went over and gave him, you know, some special attention towards the end. It was well deserved. Zian, if you hear this, carry on, mate, because every team needs more than one skipper on the pitch. You need leaders throughout the spine of the team, and you can be that player. Really happy with Mateusz Sarkic to pull off that really vital, important save towards the end. I still think his kicking needs to be worked on. You know, for a player who's meant to be a great sort of passer of the ball, too many times, you know, at least once or twice a game, we'll see him kick the ball straight out of play. And, you know, that's not really acceptable if, you know, that's the main reason you're in the team. Also, you know, in the air, I'm a bit old-fashioned. When, you know, my two favourite goalkeepers when I was a kid were Neville Southall and Brian Horn. And, you know, when you watch those guys, if they pulled off a save, they held on to the ball. Even if it was a full stretch, full length diving save, they held on to the ball. And I think there's a place in the game for that. We don't have to keep patting the ball away because it's, you know, it's going to be hard to get to. And I think that's the level of commitment we need to see from Sarkic. Bit of bravery, a bit of courage, because he's got the talent. So let's hope we'll see that improvement from him. And then I just thought, finally, you know, I didn't say this before the game, I had a funny feeling Ryan Longman was going to be a Neil Harris type player. He reminds me in some ways of, you know, the likes of Danny Schofield, you know, sort of ethereal, talented, slightly, you know, lightweight, maybe a bit unfair, but, you know, that kind of player who drifts up and down the side and, you know, can contribute to goals, but has that little bit of magic quality. And I think Longman actually probably does have that in his locker, actually. The thing with Longman is that he's got some nice step overs and tricks and things. All too often when he gets up the far end of the pitch, he suddenly looks up and then you can see the panic in his eyes when he tries to work out, right, I've got it, now what do I do with the ball? And maybe an attacking coach like Harris is the right person to sort of give him the right coaching and the right training that he needs, so that once he gets into those dangerous areas, he's hurting the opposition. And because he's got that all-rounder ability, I think he will fit into either wing back or maybe even playing up front or straight out and out winger. And Harris likes that kind of player. So, yeah, I reckon we'll be seeing more of Ryan Longman. And then just final mention, really happy for Billy Mitchell to sort of, you know, stamp his mark on the team. I'm not buying the criticism that boy gets. We could not afford to buy that bloke if he was currently playing in someone else's first team. Like, he's a quality midfielder. And yes, if options aren't available, he will pass backwards and forwards. But he is a strong player. He's good with the ball at his feet. And he can pick a forward pass if the forwards are giving him the right options. So long may it continue. The reign of Neil Harris continues. And, you know, judging by yesterday, what a response. What a response. Come on, you Lions, let's do this all again now. 12 more games to go.
Fantastic stuff, Glyn, and before him, Mark. I think Mark said it, inspired choice of manager Neil Harris. I mean, I wasn't alone in being taken aback by, not so much about the loss of Joe Edwards. I think that was unfortunately signed, sealed and delivered 5 o'clock last Saturday. But I didn't see Neil Harris coming, dear listeners, certainly not with him, you know, ensconced in a job over at Cambridge with the probability that he was going to do well for them, because he does take, you know, everyday players and get more out of them. And that's certainly what we saw on Saturday. Glyn, your point about Fleming and the leadership role, I think I've said it in the series of shows we've done this weekend,
I was really struck also by the fact that Harris went over to Zian Fleming at the end of the game. There's, I think there was a picture of him online, arm around him, talking to him quite intently, actually. And I do believe that there's a lot more that Zian can give. And I think if he has made the maturity connection, so to speak, that leadership and the team are greater than the individual, big thing to absorb, maybe, when you're very good at a certain sport or talent, you have talent. But if that's clicked, and I did notice on his Instagram feed, I'm on Instagram, kids. He posted a picture of the celebrations on Saturday, Zian, with the word team. So maybe the team ethos is connected in Zian's head in a way that maybe it means something now in a way it was just a word previously. I don't know. Do agree about Jeff Tanganga, Glyn. I mean, we've said a few times over these shows, man of the match, but it was a real physical display, a warrior. It's a cliche you read a lot in this social media driven world that we live in nowadays, warrior this and warrior that, but that was because he physically put himself on the line for the goal, got the goal, and then he was crunching into tackles. He was a monster. He reminded me of Barry Kitchener in his pomp, and that is huge, huge praise for somebody of my vintage, dear listeners. So big thank you there, Glyn and Mark. And we're going to close the show now with our last one today. This series of three editions. I'm going to be doing this as a full-time job soon, listeners. David Liederkram, let's roll out with David. And big thank you to everyone that's contributed.
Hi, Nick. David Liederkram here. I usually don't send any message to you when I've not actually seen all the game. And certainly I wasn't at Southampton today. But I was so stunned by the performance and the result that I thought I ought to send something after last week's absolute shambles. Well, what a 7 days for Millwall. Last week, I think like all of us, I was in the depths of despair and couldn't see anything other than an absolute thrashing by Southampton. And then, of course, Harris comes in. I think it's a good appointment. Not because I think Harris is a great tactician, but just we need to get our club back, and he is, without question, the best person around to do that. What happens at the end of the season, if we stay up, remains to be seen. But even so, I think it was the only appointment we could make. Anyway, back to yesterday. I've seen the extended highlights, and clearly we just did a job, no question about it. Blunted them, got the odd bit of good fortune, but it looked to me as if we were pretty secure in the second half. Special mention for Tanganga, I think, who looked pretty good as well against Sheffield Wednesday last week, actually. I thought he played quite well, and today had a terrific game at both ends of the park. And then finally that save by Salkic, which I thought was really top draw. He does have his deficiencies. He can be very insecure at crosses. He does make the odd mistake, but when you pull out a world-class save like that, and it really was a fantastic save to save us 2 points, then you've got to take your hat off to him. Like us all, I'm buzzing. It's a great feeling at long last not to wake up and feel thoroughly depressed by your team. And that amazing stat, which is the first time we've won having conceded a goal all season, which shows you, I think, exactly how we've been doing up until now. Anyway, up the Lions and on to Watford next week.
Absolutely, David. Cheers, mate. Yeah, it's a strange thing, football, isn't it? It reminds me of, I've never been an alcoholic, but they do say one of the big, big moments is when you stop drinking and you don't wake up feeling like shit the next morning. And this is the relief of being a Millwall fan. I think we're probably Millwall-holics, aren't we? That we've woken up Sunday morning having had a good win, and we're not feeling like misery, you know. I don't know if that's the right analogy. Apologies to anyone out there that is struggling with their issues. So anyway, big thank you to everyone that's contributed to the show. If you'd like to contribute, if you want to send me your thoughts, musings and whimsies post-match or in the week or whenever you like, really, listeners, give me a shout. You can contact me on X. You can send direct messages, and they do let you send sound messages. A number of the messages on these shows, this free shows this weekend, have been X direct message, voice notes. If you prefer, give me a shout and we can exchange mobile numbers. You can send me WhatsApp, voice notes, you know. The modern world is a wonderful thing and you can now be directly contributing to a show that generates money that we donate to the Lions Food Hub, because that's what we do with all the takings from our show. I'm really proud of that, and it's a fantastic cause. And as I said at the start of the show, support your local businesses, including Harvey's Den Cafe, because that's part of the community trust and it does so much fantastic work locally. There we are, dear listeners. That's the third part of this weekend's coverage of one of the most memorable days in recent times to be a Millwall fan. I'm going to play us out now. It's fast becoming a tradition, which is the very, very particular version of the old spiritual number, When the Saints Go Marching In. So take it away, the Southampton Brass Band, accompanied by the Millwall Choir. Until the next edition, listeners, thanks for listening. Arrivederci, Millwall. Bye for now.